Third time lucky. Revelation part, there we go, part 38, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Now, if you weren't here last Sunday week, we saw that the sea beast is a conglomerate empire based on previous evil empires. Five of them looked forward from Daniel's perspective in Babylon in the 6th century BC, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and the Caliphate. But two of them were before Daniel's time, of course, and that was Egypt and Assyria. Now, the sea beast doesn't like the shouting. Instead, it's really into blasphemy. And it ensures that those whose names are not written in the Book of Life will worship it. And we looked in vain for some hint of the sea beast's failure or destruction. So we took a sneak preview at the very next verse, which says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. So we've got another beastie, Andre. Let's move on, see what we can find out about this one. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, if the sea beastie arises from the sea, that is, the Gentile nations that surround the promised land, does that mean that the earth beastie arises from within the promised land? Well, these two ancient churchmen would probably have said yes. Irenaeus of Lyons and Hippolytus of Rome, 2nd and 3rd century. See, they said that Antichrist will be a Jewish gentleman who arises from the tribe of Dan. And they said that's why Dan has been omitted from the 144,000 sealed. Well, let's move on and see what happens. What does the rest of the verse tell us? He had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. There's a bit of a problem with syntax here, isn't there? By the way, it's a new financial year and the government has imposed a sin tax, so be careful what you do or they'll take some more of your money. But, you know, he, it, which is it? Look up in the sky, is it a he, is it an it? Now, in our foolish Western culture, we place an absurd degree of emphasis on pronouns. However, in the case of Revelation 13:11, it's kind of a big deal. See, if it's he, then it's an individual, like these individuals, except for that guy. If it's an it, it's a pagan empire, like that. So what is it? We could go back to Daniel's beasties, we won't bother, in Daniel chapter 7, and they're all its. But that doesn't help us. I know nothing. Because, am I dating myself? Because Daniel 7 is Aramaic, and Aramaic, like Hebrew, has only two genders, like, you know, Latin and French and Spanish and Italian. Everything's either masculine or feminine. Technically speaking, the word beast in Aramaic and Hebrew is feminine, so the Daniel passages should say she, but that would be bad English. So that tells us nothing. Happily for us, Greek has a third gender. It has the neuter gender like English and German and probably other languages. What does it say? Having two horns like a lamb and speaking like a dragon. It doesn't. It doesn't tell us. It really depends on the translator's personal opinion. If you look at the New American Standard, it says he had two horns like a lamb and he spoke as a dragon. If you've got an NIV, it says it had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. Perhaps the translator of the World English Bible knew that and so put both in to have two bob each way. I'll give you my tuppence worth in a little while, but for now, let's stick with the symbolism we've been relying on and say it's an it. It's an empire, okay? Now, notice it has two horns, which would suggest two rulers, two kings or two powers. What else? Like a lamb. Now, here's what one scholar has to say about that. This is the Word Biblical Commentary, volume 52b. Though anios, that's lamb, is usually translated as lamb, it's always translated as lamb, that is problematic. Why? Since lambs, in contrast to rams, do not have horns. Did you know that, Colin? But well, nobody tell this little wheelchair chappy that, because he's a lamb with horns. But, you know, why a lamb? They're not terribly fierce creatures. They're not like bears or leopards, or they don't have nasty pointed teeth or anything. The lamb, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. They're not fierce. I mean, having said that, every time I've got lambs in my race, which is just wide enough for them to turn around in, one of them will panic and try to jump over my head and launch itself at me and usually hit me about chest height. And as I go backwards in a rugby catch, I say something like, I'm getting too old for this. But that's not being fierce. That's just panic and stupidity that causes that. So why a lamb? In Daniel 8, there was a ram with two horns. Let's have a look at that. Daniel 8, verse 3. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns. This is Hebrew again. The word is ayil. It means a ram. If you go to the Greek translation, the Septuagint, it says krios, which is a ram, not anios, which is a lamb. But this ram is definitely an empire. It goes on to say the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. That's what zoologists call an asymmetric ram. Well, they should if they don't. But it symbolises the Medo-Persian Empire. Like the bear, which was lopsided, the Medo-Persian alliance started off, but Persia just became the really dominant power. And so it's a picture of the Medo-Persian Empire, and if you remember Daniel 8, it has a fight with a goat with one horn that smashes it to bits, and the goat with one horn was Greece with one power, which was Alexander of Macedon. And then when he died, it was split amongst his four generals, which is why the leopard has four heads, you know, all that stuff. Whatever this lamb is, it's Satan's lamb. It speaks like a dragon. Now, Christ, of course, is the Lamb of God. Incidentally, you know we were saying in Revelation, it says, I, John, was on the island of Patmos. And there are those who say, no, John, that John, the John of the Gospel of John didn't write Revelation. You know, people say that. I don't know why they say that. That John was put in exile. And we saw maybe last episode that he uses Hebraic expressions. So it was definitely a Greek John. Well, in the Gospels, John is the only one who refers to Christ as the Lamb of God. And 26 times in Revelation, this John refers to the Lamb of God. You know, I rest my case. As recently as last episode, chapter 13, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But the question is then, is this lamb a counterfeit Christ? Is this a he and not an it after all? Well, I have this theory. My theory that probably many of you have heard before is that the sea beastie, of course, is a geopolitical empire. We've said that. But I believe that the earth beastie is the religious side of the empire, which is centred on an individual. So it's a bit of both, really. Now let's see if that works. First issue, does it arise from the promised land? Not quite. There's Mecca right there. But having said that, you know, this blue-shaded area of the promised land is anybody's guess. The scripture says from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, from the Nile to the Euphrates. It doesn't say where. It could be bigger than that. It could be smaller than that. That's just a guess. Now, having said that, the very first centre of the beast's worship, the first mosque, was built in 622 AD right there in Medina, which is at least within this promised land, whether it's true or not. Does it have two horns? Certainly does, El Guapo. Sunni and Shia. The Shiite side of the beast took a bit of a hit in the last couple of weeks, didn't it? Perhaps you saw in the news, here's an Aussie scholar. This is Dr. Alam Saleh, the senior lecturer at Australian National University in Middle Eastern Affairs. Saleh means prayer in Arabic. So there. But he was interviewed by Al Jazeera, and his advice to them was, the balance of power between Iran and Israel and the US has changed now. If Iran wants to achieve military deterrence, it must take serious nuclear measures that will prevent such attacks. Isn't it good that we have people like that in our universities? Leading our young minds astray? Whatever. You know, the Ayatollah probably never thought of that. They're saying it's probably put it back 2 years. But 2 years at this time of the in history is probably a long time. Does it speak the devil's words? Oh, yes, it certainly does. It certainly speaks the devil's words. Well, let's continue. Verse 12. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. Not necessarily, it's a little bit ambiguous. The word enopion can mean in presence, in front of, in judgment of, in relation to. I think in this instance it means on behalf of. He exercises all the authority on behalf of the first beast. This is delegated authority, isn't it? A bit like the crown that we've seen in the past. To do what? He makes the earth or the land, the promised land, could be either, and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Why is the sea beast being worshipped and not the religious earth beastie instead? Well, here's the thing, right? After this chapter, there's no more mention of the earth beast in Revelation. There's only the beast, singular, and an individual called the false prophet. As I mentioned a moment ago, I think they're one and the same. So, is it a he, is it an it? I think it's both. Why? There have been and continue to be many false prophets. Who is the false prophet? Think back to Moses' prophecy of the Christ. Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. From your brethren, him you shall hear. Hebrew verb to hear, lishmoa, means to hear and act upon, not just to listen. By the New Testament era, the Jews expected a warrior king Messiah and also the prophet, plus probably Elijah as a forerunner. Consider the question the Pharisees asked John the Baptist, John 1:25, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Many times we've seen Yeshua filled all of these offices, didn't he? In his original coming, he fulfilled the office of the prophet. Right now, he is our great high priest. He will return as the warrior king as anticipated a couple of thousand years ago. After the resurrection of Christ, anyone claiming to be the prophet is a liar. Of course, our prime candidate for the beast says that Jesus was not the prophet, rather it was old mate Muhammad. They say it couldn't have been Jesus because Jesus was a carpenter and Moses was a shepherd, a sheepherder. You know? Despite all the other similarities, that's what rules it out. Whereas this chap was a camel herder and that's almost the same as a shepherd. And you can't argue with fact like that, can you? But this guy has never worshipped in Islam. Instead, he demanded worship of the false god Allah, also known as Satan, by bowing to his idol. What else? Verse 13. He performs great signs, even making fire come down out of the sky to the earth in the sight of people. It's clearly a parody of Elijah on Mount Carmel, isn't it? Remember, he was there before the prophets of Baal and demonstrated that he was the true prophet at the time by bringing fire down from heaven. You say, hold the bus. The original false prophet never performed a miracle in his life. So how can that be? I mean, it's tempting to say it's figurative, like these missiles falling from the sky and go, oh, look, fire from heaven from the beast. But that's not a deception, and it's not a miracle, is it? Paul spoke about an individual with respect to the day of the Lord. This is not apocalyptic literature. This is meant to be taken at face value. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Following the beastie's rise from the dead from its head wound in the 20th century, could there arise another individual, a religious leader who does miracles on behalf of the beast and the false prophet, another false prophet. And we saw this fellow back in part 18, which was probably a year ago, I suppose. The Mahdi, the end time Islamic figure. This is from a fairly innocuous Muslim website, not a radical one. Al-Mahdi, meaning the guided one, is a righteous leader who will appear in the last days of the Ummah. The Ummah is the caliphate. Just before the descent of Jesus. Well, that bit's true. Just before Jesus arrives, yes. Peace be upon him. I'll go along with that too. He will be from the prophetic lineage. Al-Bayt means he'll be a descendant of Muhammad. And will be forced to become caliph by righteous believers in front of the Kaaba. Kaaba's the black cube in Mecca. Allah will aid him with a miracle that will leave no doubt he is the long-awaited figure. Perhaps he'll call down fire from heaven. And previously we've seen that some say he's already here. Last time we saw a bunch of his followers, the lady at the top's an Aussie girl, saying he made the moon disappear. How'd you like that? Since then, it's claimed that he's healed the sick, he's raised the dead, and get this, he's turned leaves into living animals. Now that should ring alarm bells. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Every one of Jesus' miracles had a purpose. They were all showing us glimpses of the kingdom of God. Turning leaves into animals? That's just showmanship if it's true, which it probably isn't. Probably some kind of hypnosis or something. But that's just showmanship. Not only that, but if he turned them into drop bears, they'd have nothing to eat. So, who is this bounder? Well, here he is. That's him right there. He claims to be the Mahdi. Abdullah Hashem Abba al-Sadiq, which if my Arabic is correct, means servant of Allah, the crusher of evil, father of the righteous. Obviously. What else would it be? Now, I have a copy of his manifesto in English. It's one of my prized possessions, clearly. I paid nothing for it, but I tell you, it was worth twice that, really. But here's the thing, you know, he quotes the Bible in a very positive light. He's very ecumenical. He quotes the Quran, of course, and he quotes those biblical scriptures that support his contention, carefully avoiding the ones that don't. He calls his followers, oh, you won't believe what he calls his group, by the way. Anyone seen Flying High, you know, will you accept this flower on behalf of the Church of Religious Consciousness? He calls his group the Al-Mahdi Religion of Peace and Light. Now, that sounds corny for a start, doesn't it? Anyway, he says his followers are God's chosen people, for the chosen people of God are but the people whom God has a standing covenant with. That's true. And that is us, he says, since the Jews, Christians and Muslims all broke their covenants with God. He's a breath of fresh air, you see, an ecumenical to boot. Not enough to be the Mahdi, you know. He also says he's the Pope. This banner was placed in the Vatican. No need for cardinals to vote. God has already chosen the new Pope. The Mahdi has appeared. This was the day before Pope Francis died. How'd you like that? They got arrested and the banner confiscated. But at the same time, the banner appeared in France, Spain, and even in Canada. Canada has a large Catholic population too. Is this guy the man of sin? Is he the false prophet? Look, I don't think so. I think he's an evil fraudster like this lot. You know, Charles Manson and Jim Jones and so on. He is tech savvy. He's got a lot of funding. He has his own TV studio. And he has bases in Germany, Sweden and the UK. I would say, see if he's still around in a few years. You know? I think he's probably a nutcase or an evil man, but just keep an eye on him when you've got nothing better to do. Back to the text. Verse 14. He deceives my own people who dwell... What? What did that say? My own people? He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth or in the land? We do have a textual variance here. New American Standard, he deceives those who dwell on the earth or in the land. The majority of Greek manuscripts of Revelation say this, I've translated it literally, and he deceives those of mine dwelling upon the earth or in the land. That's a bit scary, isn't it? Is this what Jesus meant in Mark 13, verse 22? For false Christs, and by the way, you ever seen a false Christ? There's one for you. This guy claims to be Jesus, lives in Russia, has a big following. Although at the moment he's in the gulag, having been sent there for 12 years for financially ripping off his followers. You can fool some of the people all of the time, can't you? Anyway, his name's Sergei Torop, if you wondered. He claims to be Christ. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, what do we make of that? Even the elect. Old mate Calvin would say that's impossible. You can't deceive the elect, which is why it says if possible, because it's not possible. But, you know, this was 1,500 years before Calvin. And in this historical context, the elect was the Jewish people. Either way, how will he deceive them? Because of the signs he was granted to do in front of the beast, not necessarily, it's that word enopion again, in behalf of the beast. And what does he want people to do? Saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, an idol, who had the sword wound and lived. As we saw in our study of the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 3, verse 1, the king made an image of gold. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Most artists assume it's a statue of himself. It doesn't say that anywhere. It could have been anything. Similarly, in Revelation, there will be an image to the beast. It doesn't say a depiction of the beast. This is a dative phrase. To, for, or in honour of the beast, to therio. Could be anything at all. In Nebuchadnezzar's image, people had to worship it. And whoever does not fall down and worship or face the consequences shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And Daniel's three friends had that experience, didn't they, for refusing to worship the beast's image or the image. This is a prophetic picture. It's Midrash. This is a picture of the days that are coming upon us when Christ's people will be thrown into times of great torment for refusing to worship the idol. These guys were rescued by a mysterious fourth figure, physically restored. We don't have to worry because whether we're burnt to a crisp, our Lord will still save us and we will be in his kingdom, whether we're killed or not. Quick trivia question. What were the names of the three guys? And don't say Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. What were their real names? We never remember their real names, do we? We only remember their pagan names. Mishael, Hananiah and Azariah. The last one's easy to remember. Think of Azariah Chamberlain. Do you remember that? Do you remember back in the day reading a newspaper and it said that when they were convinced that Mrs. Chamberlain had done it, they said, Azariah is a name in the Bible. It means sacrifice to the devil. So there's your proof. And I thought, woo, no it doesn't. Azariah means that God has been my helper. Complete nonsense. Don't believe everything in the newspapers. I digress. We've seen already that history will repeat in the last days. Those who refuse to worship the satanic image will be killed. And even the very next verse confirms that, which we'll look at next time. Now, is this a fake Hollywood photo or what? They've put it on a slope, the camera on a slope, to make it look like they're going around a corner, right? But Gregory Peck's leaning the wrong way. Audrey Hepburn's sort of falling off, and notice there's no throttle on. You must watch these small points. Anyway, that's all I have. What can we take away from this morning? The final empire will be a religio-geopolitical empire. There's a mouthful for you. There may be a powerful individual appear on the scene, a worker of miracles even. Perhaps he'll call down fire from heaven. Don't touch him with a 10-foot pole or even an 8-foot Hungarian.